You're listening to Gab Street, Columbus, Ohio's number one podcast for the counterculture. Hear unique, honest perspectives from the most talented creatives in your city about our most important issues, and discover your new favorite people along the way. Support your locals before they go global.
I know this is all going to be in there. This, none of this is going to cut out.
Absolutely it is. And I wanted to mention one time, actually, you know, from my mouth, not just through my fingers, to you guys that I really adore the album. I really do. And
oh, man. Thank you.
Last night it was like 11:30. I just got home from work, and I looked back at the link that Eli sent me, and I listened all the way through it before going to bed, and it's honestly going to be like, I'm going to have that album on repeat for a little while. So
damn, that's great.
Thank you.
I really think you guys should be proud of yourselves.
It's a high compliment.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem at all.
It means a lot coming from someone who listens to music in general, or knows what's going on around town at least. Because, you know, you've interviewed musicians.
A couple here and there. You know, one or two.
But it's great to hear. Thank you. We I feel like we were proud of it. We feel like we're proud of the process and what we've done and the time we put into it.
Very proud of it. Very sick of it, but very proud of it.
Very sick of it.
Yeah.
Tell our audience, what are you sick of about it?
I mean, we've been working on it for literally a year. Like, we went and started. I mean, more than a year. We started recording.
Is that why it's
album,
called Year Twins?
Like a year ago.
We're in the same way, like when you get an album that you really, really love. Of course, it's like that same. It's that same thing. It's like, oh, you've heard it so much because you love it, and we've heard it so much because obviously we had to play it. But we also we also like mix most of the album ourselves, and so we've heard so many of the songs like over and over again. Not all of it, but a good amount of it.
We started recording. Yeah, in February, we have a friend in Michigan.
David Rivera, shouts out.
Yeah, he's a great person, a lovely man, fantastic cook.
Oh, he's so good at cooking.
Oh, my God. So good at cooking.
What kind of grubs he whipping up?
Oh,
so
well, I don't even, there's some weird shit I never even had.
So his family's from Columbia, so and his family had a Colombian restaurant in Dayton. Which he had worked at for a while, so he had all this stuff up his sleeve, like, you know,
college.
The oxtail soup was so freaking good.
Oxtail?
Yeah, oxtail soup.
Yo.
It was
rib.
It wasn't oxtail.
No, what? I thought he had a rib, and then also like a different. We went there up there two times. Went to Grand Rapids twice. One time in January to record the instrumentals, and then a separate time to do vocals. And yeah, there was a rib. There was a rib something. A soup. Well, good soups.
What were those, like, pancake things that weren't pancakes?
Arepas. Oh, yeah. What were they?
Arepas.
Yeah. It's like the method of using, like, corn flour instead of just regular flour.
Like something.
With melted, you know, just like white cheese, like crumbly white cheese. I forget what it's called, but no, it was good food. It was great.
Anyway.
So we got to, like, it was kind of a vacation, honestly, because he recorded us and also cooked amazing food and was just a really good host. He's just a good dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a wonderful
time. Can
one of you guys put the name of the restaurant in the Discord chat or something? Because I might want to reach out to them to interview them for Gab Street Eats or something.
Unfortunately, they're not a thing anymore.
So, yeah, I've never actually known. I think they moved back to Columbia, actually.
Shit.
They were in Dayton, then they moved to Columbia, and he relocated to Grand Rapids. Yeah. So that's where we went to record our Perfect Forever, Forever Perfect.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I wish I knew the name. I wish I could have ate at that restaurant. It would have been great.
Did you guys get a chance to play any of the album out for anybody before you started making it?
Well, that's the thing.
Or not,
like,
before you started making it. That would be ridiculous. I mean, you know.
Yeah. We've been a band for 2 years, 3 years, something like that.
Well,
murky.
It was kind of murky because our process was sort of weird. It's sort of like Eli and I had, it's Ian, of course. We both had started goofing around and like just making songs, and then I had I had broke my pelvis trying to like bomb a hill on a skateboard, which is above my skill level.
The song SpongeBob SquarePants is about that.
Really?
Thing.
I'm not good at skating, but I like to go fast. But I broke my skating process. But no, so it was kind of a weird process because I wasn't really able to totally move and function and like play guitar and stuff. But I was like writing lyrics, and then there were riffs that Eli and I had kind of been around with. But we were just workshopping. And
you mean for the show? You can curse for the show.
Cool. Yeah.
Have you heard me so far?
I just wanted to be safe, but no. So
no, you're good.
Trying to do the podcast. Our first upload was 2 years ago on YouTube. Don't watch that video; it's bad. But so we've been a band for.
Our first show was like around Halloween time of 2018, and Cody had been playing with us for a few months, and we'd really just been playing for since that summer. I think we'd kind of I'd say summer 2018 is when we kind of really started to pick up speed, just like writing songs and stuff.
Cool.
Cody is from Lima and me.
Yeah, we should mention. I feel like we should like really run it back because. We've all known each other I've known Cody for nine years, something like that. I've known Cody since high school. We all are from Lima, Ohio, which is a town that exists.
Yeah, two hours like northwest from here.
And I read from somewhere that you guys like to frequent Smash Brothers together.
Oh, true, baby.
True. Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's the like cornerstone of this band. Like that's the thing that keeps us.
It's
all, really? Like that's why we're all such good friends. I think is just the
video games in general, but Smash has always been there.
Well, I want to put it into perspective. So Eli and Cody were already friends, and I kind of just sort of ended up hanging out with them at some point.
Mutual
and then
friends.
And Smash Bros was always there when I was hanging out with them.
Well, Ian was like, I've never even seen this game.
I was like, I played this once on 64 when I was a baby.
When I was a dumb baby.
I was getting so wrecked. I was such a dumb baby.
But no, like, so, yeah, we're all from Lima, and we were all in bands as, like, teenagers. Cody and I met from band, like marching band. He played multiple brass instruments. What'd you all play, Cody?
I played the trombone and
he's a professional.
I played trombone in high school.
Nice. Trombone and tuba, nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you're doing like phone. Masters and nice. Shit for choir, right?
Yes.
Cody's the closest thing to a professional musician in the band.
He grew up with that classical.
I mean, just from high school, but
yeah.
Well, and I can hear that influence because you know I was watching, and I want to talk about this next. I was watching the Stun Gun Headbutt music video, and I noticed that it got to your one of you guys was soloing. Was it you, Cody?
Cody's bass.
Yes. That was kick ass, and I can hear the actual like refined, you know, education part of the art, part of the music, which is super important. And I think it sets you guys apart from some of the other bands that don't necessarily have that classical background, but yet, you know, don't take themselves too seriously, and so it's a slippery slope sometimes. But with your guys' outward persona, like, you guys are so outwardly silly, but you're also skilled and professional, you know? And that I feel like that's such a hard balance to find. So I really respect your guys' ability to do that.
Thank you.
Thanks, yeah.
It's a slippery slope. It's hard. It's like, you don't ever want to take yourself too seriously, right. But you want to be good, you know? Yeah.
But you don't want to take yourself too seriously, but you also don't want to... like, be like, this is all this is all a joke, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's the difference between maturity and responsibility, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you guys are responsible, but, you know, you don't necessarily have to be mature all the time, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
But with the Stun Gun Headbutt music video, I have to ask, did you guys film all those clips for the music video, or were they just clips that you had banked, like, from the videos?
Yeah. It was Cody's birthday and also Halloween.
Yeah,
okay, well,
similar time.
So we never totally wrap that up. Like Eli and I live in Columbus, and Cody lives in Lima at the time. And that's how.
Oh wait, yeah.
And that's how it's been the entire time. So, but Cody makes a lot of trips. He's here pretty often.
Yeah. Cool.
And so he came up for his birthday, or came down, I should say, and we pretty much just started rolling when he got there, and we're just like, okay, let's party all weekend, and we gotta like. Let's make a video of some sort. We weren't really sure what the direction was, but we're like, all right, let's Halloween. Recorded on Halloween time.
The idea was we wanted to make like just have a bunch of rapid fire clips to kind of like mimic the song, the da 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 da, like clip like that.
Yeah. And that looked really good. I like that.
Thanks.
It's funny because like. It's just made an iMovie, like it's just it's so amateurish, but it does what it's supposed to. Right? I think it represents the song's energy. But yeah, that whole time was just like it was Cody's birthday, and he was there for the weekend, and you know it's like hard to get together right now, but we're being as safe as we can, and getting food, you know, just like enjoying Columbus, and I was rolling with the camera the whole time because also there does exist like. 80% done, like kind of documentary type thing been working. I mean, we have all this footage from this whole time.
Just from us just filming while we're sneaking around.
And we have the Mystics in Bali video, the Jimmy Can Jump video. There's like tons of behind the scenes stupid shit from that. So eventually, probably once this album is all the way out, we'll release like that. Little documentary thing, so it was partially for that, and then we were making the video, so it all rolls into just more.
That's super exciting.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys saw from Hello Luna. I don't know if you guys heard of them.
I think I've heard of them. They're local, right?
Yeah, I had the lead singer Kenzie on the show episode 52, and they had a local group that we are now released affiliated with, Fringe Life Squad. They put together a documentary style thing for them that was like 10 minutes long, and it was super powerful. And this new trend that I'm seeing of bands putting out these shorter documentary style kind of videos really allows you to get an insight into who they are as people and what they're trying to talk about in their music and what they're trying to get done. So
yeah,
that's very cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Thanks. Yeah. It's fun to make too. It's just like, we're already doing it. And it's so easy. Everybody has a phone. Record. Just why not? It's something.
It just takes the extra thought. For like somebody to have it once, they're just like, you know, we should probably just like keep track of this,
right? <know? laughs> And I feel like people really appreciate, especially if it's music that's coming from a personal place, like an emotional place. Like people like that if there's any kind of relatability, they like to know they can like relate on like a more personal level. I feel like then it can go further with them too.
Cool.
That's a big part of. The genre we're in, I feel
just
like
being transparent, and honest.
Being as honest as you can be.
Yeah,
that's a lot about what the album is too.
True, now,
dealing with shit.
The next question I have to ask you guys, and I apologize if I missed something very obvious on like a website or Instagram or something, but where does the name Year Twins come from?
I'm glad you asked because we've never really publicly like said or anything like that.
Okay, cool.
It's a story, all right.
It's a funny story. It's really not. It's not turbulent. It's not crazy. It's like
it's
no,
just
no one
weird.
Gets no one gets mugged or anything in the process.
So okay, there's just like so much to like run back.
Well,
so much lore.
Eli and I had lived in an apartment together. For a few years ago,
yeah.
And this is around the time when we had kind of started to tease the idea of Year Twins. Well, it wasn't called Year Twins yet. We had just sort of been
writing
together.
We lived in a tiny shoebox of an apartment in German Village with my ex.
So small.
And Ian slept on an air mattress in the living room.
You could spend hours driving around German Village and you would never see it. Like it looked like a
tiny.
Looked like a big. Like a four car garage split up into two apartments.
Oh my
but there
God.
Was a giant eagle really close to us, and so and
it's
so...
closing down. It's the one on Whittier.
Oh yeah, I know that one.
I heard it was closing down. When I was
oh
no!
Open. No, it's closed down. Yeah. I tried to go there because I was like, oh, I need some flank steak, and I know Giant Eagle.
Well, that's sad because I need to go to a Giant Eagle for some fondue.
Right,
get some fondue stuff.
It's a shame, but not really because that Giant Eagle is rat infested.
Well, actually, a lot of you'd be surprised by the amount of rat infested grocery stores.
True.
But, I guess my idea for a fondue only restaurant's going to be viable now.
There you go. But no, so we would walk to Giant Eagle because we could and just get beer when we were hanging out.
Yeah.
And there was this one specific cashier that would work the same time. I mean, it would just work out. It'd be like Saturday night and we would need to go get beer at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so they'd be there and Eli would get carded.
Every time by the same girl. And... It, sorry, excuse me. Good Lord.
Sorry, I didn't mean to transition.
Right when I'm burping. Like, sorry.
That's part of the story. You were burping at the time.
Yeah, I was burping, and then Ian turned to me and said, hey, you better check out now. I said, okay. So I go to check out every single time, same girl. She goes, can I see your ID? Sure, I understand. That's fine. I'll comply every time. I'll give you my ID. That's not a problem.
That's a transaction.
But every single time... She would go, "Dear twins, because we were born in the same year, 1996."
Not that surprising. Though.
Every time it was like a shock to her, like you've never seen each other.
Like several check
get hyped.
Like yeah, like so she was hyped. Like trying to high-five,
high fives and everything.
I'm just like, this is uncomfortable.
Handshakes, get pictures together, shaking hands.
So one day I'm like buying beer, I'm by myself. And she hits me with the year twins, and I go, I was just in a bad mood.
I wasn't there.
Ian wasn't around. It was just me. And I feel bad, kind of, because I was being a jerk. It's for real. And I go, yep, same as last time, and just, like, walk out. I was, like, being such a snot-nosed jerk. But I called Ian immediately after that, and I just screamed year twins.
I was asleep.
Into his ear.
I was asleep, and he was like... I'm like, what? He's like, he gets close to the mic. He's like, fucking year twins. And I'm like, oh, she said it again. And he's like, yep.
And then so, I explained the story.
And so it's really goofy. It's nothing really like that insightful. It's just an inside joke.
It just sounded like a band name too.
It just sounds like a band name.
I love and that. So, that's like a great story for a name nice. Like that to come up.
If you worked at Giant Eagle a couple years ago and you are a year twin, I'm sorry if you're listening to this podcast right now. Thank you for all the PBR.
Thank you for checking us out. I'm sorry I was a dick that one
time. thanks for the band name.
Yeah, thanks for the band
name. It's like, thanks for the career. So are you guys actually year triplets?
No.
Not at all, which is the funniest part.
It's literally just that.
I think
that
we're all
story.
Born in different years.
We're all born 1 year apart.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Wait, so how old are you guys?
I was born in 93.
Okay. I was born in 94.
And then I was born in 96. I'm a little baby.
But the way it times out is that we're 24, 25, 26, or 20, depending on when it is.
Sometimes.
When it times out perfectly, we're in that stair-step formation.
So sure, you're twins, whatever, I don't know.
This is not super related, but I do have to ask you about, I ordered a t-shirt from you guys a few months ago.
Oh, man.
God, I love that t-shirt. It's so cool. Where did you guys get the design? Did you guys make it?
My girlfriend, this is Ian speaking, my girlfriend, Natasha.
You don't have to keep doing
it. I don't know if we sound the same or not. People always sound different. But no, my girlfriend, Natasha Strome, she's really good at, with her hands, she's really good at drawing and making art. And she's also, went to CCAT for glass. And
oh, cool.
We were trying to think of an idea for a shirt. Like, we put some stuff out. We're like, okay, we need, like, some merch, though. And we won't... You've had the same shirt for a year now, but more to come soon, hopefully. Yeah. But
Tasha also did our album cover, which is like one of the most insane things I've ever seen her do, and I'm so thankful. Like she did such an amazing job.
She was showing us just her sketchbook to Eli and I, and got to like the double, or no, it was just the face at first, and we're like, yo, that would be a really cool shirt. then we're kind of brainstorming, like, oh, like how can we make it into a shirt though? So she had the idea of mirroring it, and then adding, you know, if you, you can't quite tell
your twins in the eyes,
but yeah, your twins is very small in the eyes.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That was Eli's idea.
Oh yeah,
actually.
That, I was like, yeah, we gotta make this a band shirt.
Oh yeah.
And we just sneak this.
We were thinking like, oh, I like, put your twins on top, on the bottom, but it was all just looking weird. We're like, we should try to like squeeze it in like a subtle way.
That's something I've noticed. I've had to do a lot of graphic design lately when it comes to like Instagram posts and flyers and stuff. And putting titles on top of things, it doesn't work as often as you think it does.
Yeah.
It's so
weird.
It's
hard to make it not look corny and like
a product, I guess.
Like something like your high school is like making a flyer.
Yeah.
Just slap together and like, you know what I mean? Like it's hard.
Use the
struggle with that
font. Yeah, we do.
Because that's partially why our album cover has no words on it. It's just like, fuck it.
Well, it really just comes down to fonts that are available. You don't want to have a dumb looking font or like an overused font, or you want to just like, I wish I could make my own font, you know.
Fuck Canva for making me pay for premium fonts. Like, come on, are you serious?
Oh man,
ridiculous.
Shout out to the font.
Yes, exactly. This is my public call to boycott Canva until we get our fonts. I'm just kidding. Canva's very helpful to me right now.
Hell yeah.
Please don't take it from
me. I'm back on Canva.
So we talked about Smash Brothers earlier.
Oh, yes.
Would you like
to
go on?
Here's one of the bonus questions.
Oh, boy.
Who do you boys main?
Okay, so here's the thing.
Let me explain myself.
Ultimate is a big game.
Ultimate is the game.
That's the one that we all play together.
It's the up-to-date current game.
Okay. I know Melee is the cool guy game that everyone likes to play. I dabble in Melee. Shout out to Michael Turner. He's my Melee coach.
And shout out to the Columbus stuff. Melee scene in general.
Yeah. Real quick, let me shout out Michael Turner, because he did our Pizza Dungeon thing recently. And he does a lot of local stuff. And watch out for that man. He's making moves.
Cool.
But, yeah. Anyway, Smash. King K. Rool and Terry. Those are my homies.
Very nice.
It was always different for me because we've played different iterations of Smash Brothers.
We used to play Project M.
That was the first one.
Yeah, which is a modded version of Melee, which is the game.
No, modded version of Brawl to make it like Melee.
Right. And so our mains have always changed. I think at the end of the day, if I were to pick one overall, it would be Snake for me, because that's the only prevalent character in most of the games.
Yeah.
And I just like laying bombs. And Metal Gear Solid is such a great game. I love Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear.
For me, in Ultimate, I would say K. Rool, but I also love DDD.
You've been repping DDD since the Project M days.
Yeah.
Oh, those were the days.
I'll be honest with you, I've done more watching Smash than I have done playing it. So
yeah.
I actually don't know who I would main, and I'm horrible at the game. But I'll probably get into it eventually. So we'll get there.
It's definitely a good fighting game to start with. Like,
oh, yeah.
So many people play it, and it's
it's the most lighthearted.
It's crazy that game has such a huge roster and it still somehow is balanced. Like, yeah, Ultimate
is
pretty
crazy.
Of course, it's a popular game. Like, so many people like it, but it's really, it's such a good game because everyone can join in.
Yeah,
and
up to eight players.
But as long you can take it seriously, but if people aren't taking it seriously, it's a really good party game too. Like, I feel like that's why it's good. It can double as a party game or a fighting game.
I think that's why we play it so much.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick it up as soon as they put Solaire from Dark Souls in it. That's all I ask.
Oh my god, I've been wanting that for so long.
I beat Dark Souls last night.
Yeah, nice job.
What a coincidence.
I have an embarrassing amount of time in the Dark Souls series.
Ooh, I don't know if
we don't have to talk
about
it.
You're talking to the right people right now.
Yeah, sure. All right, on three, we are all going to say at the same time the amount of hours we have in the series.
Are we counting Bloodborne? No, I'm down. Are we counting Bloodborne?
Well, I know.
Let's count Bloodborne. How about that?
Okay. Let me do some quick math. All right. Go for it. 1, 2, 3, go.
1, 2, 3. 1,000
plus.
700.
I would say like 350.
350. That's respectable.
About 700, I'd say.
Cool. Cool.
Like 400 of that is Bloodborne. Bloodborne is probably one of my favorite games.
How many times did you play Bloodborne?
4 times.
Okay. Bloodborne is not my favorite game of all time, but I do think it is the best game of all time.
Ooh, that is
my
like
opinion. Because like, you know, you can appreciate something for its like artisan value, but you don't necessarily have to enjoy it the most out of everything.
Here's the only thing that's holding that baby back: 30 frames.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh yeah, the podcast audience wants to hear about frames for a second. But no, it's true. I think that's good about Bloodborne is that it captures that Dark Souls. It's like it's Dark Souls, but then
it's Castlevania, but it's
everyone
Dark Souls.
Just loves grim gothic architecture. It's good stuff.
God. Oh my god! After we're done with the interview, I am going to continue to nerd out about this with you guys. Thank you. Finally, I find my people.
But cool. As far as like the Smash thing, though, like I was saying, we've been playing it since high school, and we were not to jump back. I just really want to get it because yeah. It's just like we have such a stupidly deep history.
we've all been best
friends for so long, and just like started out in Lima, we're playing lots of games,
like Smash Bros.
But
playing Soul Calibur, and
I met Ian through his girlfriend at the time because we were friends in high school. Because
we went to different schools.
Yeah, Ian went to Elida, which is right outside of Lima. And Cody and I were friends. Cody called me one day and was like, "Hey, I know you play the drums. Do you want to come play the drums?" And I'm like, "Sure." So it was him, our old friend Tyler, Tim, who is the singer of the Radio Pilots, which is the band I'm about to talk about, and Cody was the bass player. And they were like, "Hey, come play the drum." So we did it, and we were a terrible little punk band from Lima that existed.
You know your high school punk band, like, you see them, like, they're not, like, totally, like, great, but you still have a fun time watching them.
Yeah. I mean, we kept it together. It was basic stuff.
British trash type stuff.
Yeah, very misfits-y.
Yeah, kind of a classic.
Very, vibe. Yeah, just like...
And I hate my mom. And I hate my dad. Shitty.
We have, like, I mean, you can unfortunately find all that stuff still if you search. Ian was in a different band.
Yeah, I was in a band around the same time playing shows locally, and we played shows with the Radio Pilots, and that's kind of also how I became friends with Eli and Cody and everybody.
Oh, cool.
Because we were all just buddies in the quote unquote Lima music scene
at that time. Yeah.
Which there kind of was. It was decent at
the time. I feel like a lot of cities always have ups and downs, you know, crests and troughs of when the music scene can be really big booming and then kind of, you know, be kind of quiet for a while.
Yeah.
But
it was popping at the time.
But yeah, but then eventually the guitarist for the Radio Pilots quit around the same time as the guitarist for my band quit.
The Vandevelds.
Yeah, we were called the Vandevelds.
They were good. They were way more in vain with, like, your twin, honestly. It was more emo type.
It was kind of like emo kind of clashed with your typical, like, indie bands at the time, like Modest Mouse or, like, Interpol, Arctic Monkeys. It was
Arctic Monkeys.
Very Arctic Monkeys for 2012 times.
Oh, they're I love good, Arctic though. Monkeys.
Great band.
Ian downplays it. I like the Vandevelds.
Honestly, Eli and I was. Yeah. Eli and Cody were our biggest fans at the time.
It's true. But we were all in different bands, and then we just stole Ian because the Vandevelds kind of just dispersed at the same time. Tyler was like, "I don't want to do anything."
And I was like, "Oh, I don't know, guys. I don't know, guys. I don't know." But I loved Radio Pilot songs, so then I jammed with you guys, and I was like, I'm having fun playing these songs that I've just been, like, jamming with while I was playing shows with you guys in the first place. So yeah, we played, I feel like, maybe not totally a year. It was, like, maybe
a little over a year, I think.
We played just shows together, and we put out an album together, too. It was called Animalized Men Wriggling Eerily.
That's our crown jewel.
But that was a totally different lineup, because I was playing guitar and just guitar and like occasional backup vocals. It was like, it was a totally different setup. It was a different style, and we had different vocalists at the time too.
Cool. Yeah, Tim O'Neill was our vocalist. There's some good songs on that album. I don't totally stand by it, but there's some bops here and there.
I'm enjoying hearing all of this lore about the history of the band. Lore, cool.
The reason the Radio Pilots broke up though is because Ian was like, "Yo, I'm gonna move to Colorado. See you guys."
Oh, shit. Please, fuck you guys. I'm out of here.
I'm gonna go get my legal weed. See ya.
Yeah. Radio Pilots is good, but overpriced legal weed.
I mean, come on.
Come on. But yeah, I moved away for like a period of time.
And How long? Like 2 years?
It was 2 years. Pretty much flat. It was like summer to summer to 2 years. To, you know, 2 years. And I wasn't totally writing a lot of songs at the time, but I was going to college for music and stuff. And so I was learning a lot about like how to be good at guitar and how to be good at music, like in like an actual sense. I was depressed because I wasn't making music with my friends, but then I came back. I moved back and I was like, yo, like I have this like, you know, newfound. I just played different types of chords, really, is all it was. I took jazz lessons and stuff.
And let me interject. I'll tell you what I was doing during this period of time, and Cody as well. Being very depressed, living in Lima.
I was depressed too.
hanging out with Cody, smoking a lot of weed, delivering pizza at Papa John's, and eventually... me and my ex-girlfriend moved to Columbus, and that's how we kind of started to make our way towards being a Columbus band.
So honestly, like, I moved away from Ohio. Like, I didn't want to move away. I wasn't like, I need to get out of Ohio. Like, this city is so lame, man. I was like, yeah, like, my girlfriend at the time was moving. I was like, yeah, fuck it. Like, I'm 19. Like, I should move out. Like, fuck it. And so I did, and... Then I came back, and but I was able to come. I didn't really want to move back to my hometown.
I got to visit Colorado. That was really fun.
That was fun. I mean, Colorado is a beautiful place for real.
Where did you live at? Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs, yeah, right central. So
I want to go check that out so bad.
Oh, it's nice. Really cool. All the mountains. Yeah, the mountains and stuff are amazing.
People talk about Colorado and think about like really snowy mountains, but there's a lot of elevation in Colorado. A lot of elevation differences, and so it being in the Southwest, if you're like really low elevation, it'll just be like dirt and cacti. but you can be in the view of a big giant snowy mountain, and it was cool. But and weed's legal there. But I worked at a record store there, which was a lot of fun too, so I got to get a bunch of records for
What's
cheap
that?
And
what record store?
Oh yeah, Independent Records in Colorado Springs. If you
dope records.
It's really cool, honestly.
Kind of a mom and pop chain.
It's
type
like
deal,
or... yeah, it's like a mom and pop chain. They just had locations in town, in there. But
cool.
But yeah. When Eli came and visited, he would get records, and we would go hike and stuff, and we would talk about. We would play Smash Bros and talk about making music and stuff.
I brought my Wii with Project M all the way to Colorado just so we could play Smash together.
Let's go, motherfucker!
It's the ritual, man. Like, it's the ritual. That's what you gotta do. Real.
Right.
Speaking of weed and Smash, what are the biggest sources of positive energy and motivation for you guys? Other than that?
Good transition.
Oh man,
I mean, that's honestly tough.
Well, we've sat here talking about friendship and about, you know, family growing up and stuff. It's like really at the you have your inspirations that you grew up with. And musically, you know, people wise, but I feel like our biggest inspiration is just I guess just enjoying each other's company.
It's honestly
that's real.
It's like the satisfaction of doing anything, especially right now.
Yeah.
Like with pandemic stuff, it's been a blessing and a curse because we can just we almost have the next album like halfway there.
Oh, no spoilers.
I mean, I'll just say it. It's written.
We've been writing like
crazy
shit.
We practice so much. I mean, Ian and I live together too. That's the other thing.
Yeah. We live together around downtown-ish.
Yeah.
And we practice like twice a week.
But that's this whole time, like the virus is hitting hard. We're just in the basement learning how to mix an album, pretty much. Like, we had no idea. I mean, Ian more so than I. But we pretty much had no idea what we were doing when it came to mixing the album.
It was a good combined knowledge, because you had been messing around with GarageBand for years, and then I had taken some very expensive classes on how to mix things. So that combined knowledge, we were able to...
But, yeah, just to get back to the question, it's just getting anything done is so satisfying, and, like, just producing things, hanging out with each other, because it's far and few in between that there's a lot that, like, gets me hype to, like, keep going.
One thing I'll say is a really big source of positive energy is things like your words, saying that you think the album is pretty good, you know? Things like comments from shit that we post online, you know, like in particular, the Mystics in Bali video had a comment, I think, on a Reddit post about how some guy was like, it's nice to see that, you know, people are still making good music or something like that. And something like that is, I think, a really big source of positive energy, because the internet does not have to be nice. In fact, I think the internet
usually isn't.
Yeah, notoriously ruthless. And... they don't have to say nice things about us, but usually, you know, people leave nice comments, and reading those and the praise and stuff is something that I think really keeps us going, at least.
It's kind of like Yelp reviews. Like, you don't see like a ton of like Yelp reviews that are like, oh, this place is amazing. Like, you just see when people have like a bad time and they're like, this sucks.
Yeah.
So, people are out of their way to be like, hey, this is good. Like, I'll listen
to this. It's pretty wild, when anyone, I don't know if people even realize how much it means to just commenting on a stupid, like, Twitter thing or Instagram. Like, it's just like, oh, like, thank you for even paying any attention to our stupid band.
Like, even though it's just like social media engagement, it I mean, especially during pandemic times like these, like, even just that type of engagement.
It's all we have.
Like, oh, hell yeah. It's a good...
we haven't played a real show in over a year. It's the only fan interaction we can even get. Like, it's tough right now. Really tough.
Yeah.
And do you guys get much interaction with other bands or musicians in the city?
Yeah. We try to.
As much as you can.
I kind of mentioned it briefly, the... Pizza Dungeon thing our friend Michael is doing or trying to do. He's renting out the Donato's basement while there's not like much going on, and just trying to do live sessions. We did a session with Palette Knife.
Yeah, shout out Palette Knife.
Yeah, really dope band from around here. And I know they're planning to do a lot more of those. And
also shouts out Sam Rothstein too.
Yep. Yeah,
Sam Rothstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully gonna. Whip the scene into shape.
this city owes Sam Rothstein a lot of shout outs. Just putting that out there.
Add to the list.
I haven't had him on the show twice for nothing. So
yeah.
That's what I'll say.
Hell yeah. he was
there at the pizza.
He's such a nice person.
He's a good dude.
He's been very
and that was a lot of fun. I'd say, you know, it's really cool seeing people, even if you can't have crowds come, it's really awesome to see venues working in collaboration with people that are putting on these safe sort of, you know, everyone's keeping it real, having masks on, keeping a distance, but also with a goal of being able to have live stream shows or, you know, just anything that can make people connect.
Just fill the gap.
Yeah, fill the gap as much as I can.
God, I miss getting tossed around at a show. Like, so bad. It sucks. I don't even know when it can happen. It's just scary and sad.
It really makes you appreciate the times you've had so far.
Yeah.
What are some stories from the best and worst shows of your guys' career?
I don't know. Should we start with best or should we start with worst?
I feel like... Well, you use one. It's like when you're giving like employee feedback, you want to like start out with a compliment, and then, give her an improvement, and then end with another.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Oh, I think the best shows, some of the most fun shows that we played, have just been like house shows. Honestly,
yeah,
for real.
I love playing. I love playing anywhere, but when you're in a hot, dank, sweaty basement, mm-hmm. you get electrocuted by the microphone.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Your drums in a puddle.
Plug in one more thing, the power will just
burn down.
Yeah.
It's dope.
Everything's just, like,
take down the grid.
And beer.
It's just sweaty and beery. Yeah.
Listen,
the basement's covered in beer.
If you don't got mushrooms growing in your basement, I don't want to play in it.
It's like that shit is just lost at the moment. You just can't do it in good conscience. If you do, you're a total asshole.
Well, yeah. Honestly, that especially sucked because those were, you know, when now you can't go places because, you know, it's not safe. You know, stay home. But then you can't. It's not really a good idea to, like, have people over at your house. You can't have a house show, and especially in a crowded place, people are, you know, knocking shoulders, knocking elbows.
Yeah.
Really, it's an impasse.
But, a lot of great house shows. We played, like, a sick campus show where we were outside, and just random people were, like, coming in and out. Like, oh.
Oh, that's sick.
We played a song from Sonic Adventure 2, and people lost their minds. That was pretty crazy. That was fun.
Yeah, we're like, no one's gonna know this fucking song, and then people were like, oh, this is from Sonic.
Oh my god. I think, I don't know, it was even weirder than that. One of the other bands was like, we should cover that song, and I like tapped them on the shoulder and I was like, hey, guess what,
when we showed up they were talking about Sonic.
Yeah,
oh my god,
such
that's
a weird,
legendary
weird coincidence. But just, I feel like when really super grassroots, just a guy is like, we're doing a thing in a house. Let's get every fucking person I know in this town to my house. that's when people are like, they know what they're in for. You're not playing at a bar where like half the people are like, why is there a loud band here? Like, that's always a struggle. It's just, it's a very condensed. People want what they're there for.
But also, there's a certain charm to playing in bars to people that like didn't know there was going to be a band there that night. Like,
when that works in your favor, it's cool.
It's I feel like playing shows and being in a band, like, you take the good with the bad always, and you appreciate
Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah, well, we play at Victories. You know, when you have like free shows, you have like all sorts of people show up, and there was this, we played at Victories once last May, and there was a guy who showed up, and he was definitely,
he was obliterated on something.
Pulverized. He was decimated. And it was a free show, and you were able to just kind of just like walk in. Like, you walk down the street and you hear a band playing, like, anybody can come in. And he was just standing there while we were playing shows, front row, raises screaming at me, just going, Grand Funk Railroad. I'm like,
just begging for it. It's like all local. It was Fia Snacks.
Like, surprise. And then we start playing, we're an American band.
Yeah. Sorry, homie. No Grand Funk Railroad here. But, I mean, that kind of leads to bad shows. If we're culminating when we were in the Radio Pilots too, we have some wild stories from Lima Town.
Yeah, honestly. Well, it's kind of that same story of crazy people just being in a bar, and there's, I'm drunk as hell, there's a band playing, let's go.
There was this Mulligan's is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, there's a bar in Lima called Mulligan's.
Three different really weird things happened in one night. There's this very drunk man who walked in. He's like, I'm from Chicago and I'm gonna sign your band.
Oh,
and somebody that
was I in the band? Was I in Radio Pilot?
Yeah, this was at Mulligan's when they had the cool patio out back.
Oh hell yeah! That Resident Evil looking ass patio.
Yeah,
oh,
we were sitting in the back. Yeah, that was pretty cool bar downtown.
Well,
in
cool
unquote,
with
downtown
Nemesis,
London.
You know.
Yeah. But
it's that
actually
guy
really
chill.
Just,
you just didn't get to know him.
That guy
missed
was
a big opportunity then.
That guy was harassing us, and I think at one point, because I had some like real, I had some like fire red skinny jeans on. He was like, "That girl's hot."
Oh yeah, like, trying to hit on me.
And I was like, I was like 16. It was very bizarre. And then
you're like, "Bro, you're my manager. This is
It was just so Lima is.
Well, is that the same place? It's the same night. Maybe a different night when someone.
This is the same night.
Someone bit. the lead, our lead singer, Tim, for the Radio Pilots, our old band. This is all.
We were mid song.
Mid set. I think we're playing Cartel Runner. I remember it like it was yesterday.
And the crowd was kind of moshing. You know,
the three people in the crowd at 1 o'clock in the morning in the bar we shouldn't have been
taking up a lot of space. They were making enough space for as much as they were like swaying to each side of the room.
But this, he was also this guy kicks over our singer's water, gets us all waters, kicks over the singer water again, goes in and bites him on the neck.
Yep.
Jesus. Tim throws him across, tries to
Dracul him.
Yeah. And Tim had a mark on his neck, like, for the set. Like, it wasn't just, like, a smooch. It was, like, a straight-up drunken vampire bite.
Well, it's kind of nuts, because at first, like, you know, they're vibing really hard. We're like, oh, hell yeah. Like, those guys did, you know, like, even though this is 2 a.m. and almost empty, but at least there's a few people just fucking vibing. Like, whatever, we're having fun. And then we're like, oh, no, he has this ulterior motive of biting people.
At the same time, I'm watching a drunk guy throw up in a booth, like, all over himself. It was just such a nightmare of a night.
Man, have you guys checked on Tim in a while?
What was that? Gromy almost broke Cody's bass.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Kurt, what did you say?
Have you guys checked on Tim in a while? Has he turned?
We haven't talked to Tim. I haven't talked to him in a minute.
Yeah. I don't think he's a vampire.
No, he's not a vampire. He's fine.
He just...
Van Helsing came that night. We made sure he came.
Blessed him.
Good. Glad you were prepared.
Yeah. Hit him with the stake.
That is a hell of a fucking story.
Yeah, Lima was just always strange.
Listen.
We did what we could. But I mentioned Gromy. I want to shout out Gromy real quick.
Yeah.
There's a record store in Lima, Ohio, Gromy CDs and Tapes.
Cool.
He is crazy.
Holding it down.
He's had a record store. There, yeah. I used to work there, actually. That was my first job.
Oh, cool.
I was just like under the table as fuck, 14-year-old. Just like buying so many records.
I love buying records.
We're big record.
Honestly, and all the bands here, I love going to Use Kids, man. Magnolia, I love Spoonfed. Spoonful! Loving Spoonfed.
Spoonful is sick. Last Weekend, sick. I mean,
good records. We have a lot of records in our house. We have like 1,500 between Eli and I both.
Speaking of records and the guy who came in and claimed to be from Chicago, I saw that the new album is going to be released under We're Trying Records, and I wanted to ask who that was, how you got involved.
Jordan, the homie.
Yeah, Jordan, the homie from We're Trying Records. They're from Texas.
Cool.
This also was like a year ago when we started conversing in the first place.
I mean, I'll just say right now, album's released later than I wish it was, but that's just how it goes. I mean, it's been a year turnaround, I think, so it could be worse, but...
Yeah, it's not bad.
We started talking to We're Trying around the time that we were recording the album.
Yeah.
And,
I think we were halfway through recording, and they sent us an email, Jordan, it's just one guy.
Yeah,
Jordan sent us an email, and, it just kind of went from there. We called him up and was like, what's the deal? What's going on?
Yeah, we got together and just were...
Right before the shit hit the fan.
Yeah, honestly, it was like before COVID really, really exploded. But we weren't really totally sure what the deal was with it, you know. And we talked about, you know, it was basically just a partnership of being with all these cool bands that we had kind of already been listening to. Like, we'd already listened to a couple bands from We're Trying. And then... when he reached out, we're like, okay, like, whoa. We didn't realize that, like, we were trying. It's kind of cool. They're really cool.
Sweet. Yeah, my girlfriend was like, Goodwill, this is this band. Two seconds later, we find out we're going to be on the same label as them.
Yeah.
Like, what? Checkmate is a really good band. That's also what we're trying. They just put out an EP. I mean, just a ton of really fucking solid bands. Very excited to... be working with Jordan, and I mean we're doing big big things, making big, big moves. As we were talking about records, we are planning to release this album on vinyl.
And yeah,
it'll be their first venture into records. So we're like really excited.
It's really cool for everybody.
Yeah.
Send me the link. Send me the link.
Oh, man.
Hell yeah.
Please do.
We're really stoked for the physical presentation of the record, just because, you know, Eli kind of alluded to it earlier, but the same person who drew our shirts also drew the album cover. And
that's right.
Tasha Stone, great album cover. And we're also planning on hopefully having a really, like, you know, just a nice little, everyone likes a good color vinyl too.
Yeah.
So we're trying to have some fancy stuff there too. But,
and like the actual vinyl itself is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little something. No spoilers.
Okay. Just regular black.
I see y'all.
It's really a dream come true. Like, it's just all very surreal still that any of this is being put into motion.
Yeah. We've been writing music together or just separately for years, and now we're going to be able to hold our album in our hands, and that's going to be really dope. And people are going to be able to too. And
hopefully, nope. I mean, hopefully. I don't want
Jason. Oh, you know.
You never know. Anything happens.
Oh, yeah. As of now, we have plans to
make. We have plans. There are irons in the fire.
Yeah.
So to speak.
I will pick up a vinyl and a CD. Don't tempt me. You think I won't?
I mean, I'm not threatening.
Who told you?
Don't threaten us. I mean,
no, I don't think you will. Now it's a challenge. I'm just kidding.
Okay, I won't. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait.
So, gentlemen, when we last spoke, I wanted to ask, what do some of your songs address lyrically? Where do they come from in your lives?
Yeah, for sure. I sort of talked about the experiences I personally dealt with leading up to when Eli and I had started like writing stuff. I feel like a lot of our stuff addresses just general personal problems that you have like growing up and facing new realities of sorts. You know, like I said, like I moved away from my family. I was like missing my friends, missing my family. I moved back and, you know, I started writing stuff, and that comes with a different sort of set of emotions, I guess. You know, when your life gets mixed up that much, it can definitely inspire things to be written about. And I think most people that are I feel like early 20s is a transitional time for a lot of people.
Hmm.
You have to experience a lot of things that you're not used to, and
shit like breaking your pelvis.
Yeah. So yeah, like some songs are about just like growing up and shit, but other songs are about everyday shit like breaking your pelvis, which is what SpongeBob.
Every day.
We've all done it. Happens to the best of us.
Ruined my whole Sunday.
Oh my god, you haven't broken your pelvis? Wait, are you like, living?
It's like chicken pox.
Negative Sundays that were ruined.
Hell no, dude. I used to get blood milk.
Oh, now you're just bragging. It's not a competition.
Milk flex.
Milk flex. Calcium flex.
Milk flex.
So yeah, I mean, it was like, move to Colorado.
And Eli was there during the whole thing. Like, I talked to him. I was like, oh man, I'm sad. I miss playing music with the Radio Pilots. I miss my family, my friends.
It was really tough.
But at the same time, like, you know, this can be applied to anybody who has to move away. Like, you miss your friends, you make new friends, you know? And then even if you move to someplace else, then you miss the new friends that you just made.
I actually, I wrote Jimmy Can Jump, like, before.
It's true. There was
Ian had even thought about moving back. It was, like,
there is an instrumental Jimmy demo that exists.
Yeah.
And... Well, I guess, yeah, this kind of comes full circle because I was living with you and I had just been writing lyrics and stuff. And then
I was like,
hey, remember this song I made? And I was like, oh, man, I was like, yeah, this song's great. And then I was kind of sort of just puzzle piecing the lyrics for Jimmy Can Jump to that instrumental. And then we made it a full song afterwards.
I mean,
hell yeah.
I don't want to say anything crazy, but like Jimmy Can Jump, very fucking brutal song. Like, it's sad.
It's
a bummer of a song.
Yeah.
It's I mean, it's very relatable and pretty much spells it out, I'd say.
Yeah. I remember when we were recording and I was like, actually kind of like hearing the lyrics for the first time, because when we practice, it's kind of hard to hear everything. Oh, yeah. But I was like, damn, this song is really emo, huh?
It's like, ooh, I feel that one.
There's a nasty facing to it, you know?
So I feel like, well, I mean, like, we usually will, since Jimmy, we'll kind of like write songs musically, and then whatever inspiration I'm feeling from that is what I'll apply, whatever the song's subject matter is. And sometimes it can apply to like some personal experience that I've had, or it can kind of be more general and it apply to experience that I think like anybody could have, or it can be like about something specifically that somebody's experienced. Like not all the songs are from a first person perspective.
Yeah. And I've always enjoyed hearing songs that have kind of a somber or negative lyrical content, mm-hmm. but they have like this jovial, like passionate, like kind of things are okay right. in a way, kind of instrumental behind it. And that's some of my favorite kind of stuff. Like if I had to choose one genre to listen to for the rest of my life, it would be like melancholy but hopeful. You know what I'm saying?
I feel it exactly. Yeah. No one wants bleak, just unending bleak. Yeah. Like on your very sad days, you don't want to put on the saddest music and
no.
lay in the puddle. Like you want to lay in the puddle, but then like you want
to splash in the puddle.
You want you want to be able to, exactly.
You want, like, next album time. Puddle Splash. Let's go.
Puddle Splash.
Yes, I love that. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Have you guys heard of Noah No Last Name by any chance?
That sounds familiar.
Didn't we play a show with them?
Yeah, I think so.
I think there was a show we played with, and then we kind of sat there for like an hour and a half, and then everybody left on the time for something.
Oh, was that hour?
Yeah.
But no, that was also in the Donato's basement.
That was
at
Donato's.
I think we played a show with. Yeah.
That was Wasp.
So yes. The answer is yes.
I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be really cool if you guys like did a collab with him where he sang on a track of yours, or you guys played on a track of his or something like that. I think it would be really cool if you guys worked together. Because you guys have very similar energy, but you can contribute to each other's in a very constructive way, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, I definitely would love to collaborate with more local musicians.
Yeah, I really thought a lot about split stuff with local people. Like,
yeah,
I don't know who, but
audience, if listen to this. If you're a musician, reach out to them.
If you want to do a split EP,
if you're, you know, if you enjoy the middle, I don't know.
You enjoy making music. Well, you know,
we have a lot of ideas.
Yeah,
we were planning on doing it. Spoilers. Planning on maybe doing a video game cover thing at some point, because we just got a bunch of recording equipment.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So that was part of the whole pandemic thing. Like Eli bought Logic on his computer, and then since then, like I bought an interface, and Eli's bought microphones. We've just been buying studio equipment so we can get ideas out like as they come.
Yeah. That's.
And record shit in our house, not to travel to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
So. As dope and amazing as it was being there, and as fun as it was, like, I do not want to drive 5.5 hours to record.
Yeah, no one wants to drive. Of course, there's places to record here, but at the same time, like,
it's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. You got to.
We don't have any money.
You got to coordinate schedules. Like, you and I live together. Like, we just have this equipment. We can record drums on a Tuesday at like 12. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Cool. And we could also do the same thing, like if we did show with other people.
Well, I'm glad you guys have access to that to be able to record more from home. It's important.
Yeah, hopefully things will be picking up a little bit as far as output.
Cool.
Oh yeah, we definitely want to. We have too many ideas that are on the back burner, and we're like super excited to just start pushing shit out. And the wait for the album has been a minute, but. I feel like now the train's actually rolling, so momentum's there. It takes a long time for a train to stop.
So when these future things do come out, how can my audience find you and support you?
All Bandcamp.
Spotify.
Yeah.
But we're on everything.
The YouTube.
The YouTube. Say, yeah.
Yeah.
The Yubes.
We yes. have a we have a single coming out soon.
Yeah.
Which will be on the album. We
which the Stun Gun Headbutt.
It's yeah. Stun Gun Headbutt should well. A little spoilers. It won't be out by the time this comes out, but I think we can.
It'll be out after this sometime soon.
Oh, I didn't mean to spoil it. I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter.
You can cut it out. You can cut it out if you have to.
Don't cut it out.
But no. Find us on Bandcamp. You know, if you want to buy a shirt, we would love that. If you want to stream on Spotify, if that's your digs.
Or whatever else. I mean, like I said, we're on like literally everything. We're mostly active on Twitter and Instagram as far as like dumb shit post stuff.
We shit post a lot.
Facebook exists, but we don't really use it much outside of big announcements. It's just kind of there for like, you know.
And what are you guys' Instagram handle? What is your guys' handle?
Dear.twins.
Yeah. This is already taken by a ghost. By a ghost, so if you search your dot twins, you'll find us. And we're just your twins on Twitter, I think.
Regular. We got your twins on Twitter.
Very cool.
It's true.
Do you guys have any last minute shout outs to make?
I just want to shout out everybody who has been, you know, fucking with us for the past year and a half and have had patience for this album. We're really super excited to share with everybody. Yeah. I want to shout out. We're trying. We're sticking with us. You know, they've been patient too, because, you know, we've been perfecting the album. We're trying to make it.
Shout out my mom. Shout out my dad. Shout out my family. You know, you feel me. Shout out my hometown Lima. Shout out Gromy.
Shout out Eli. Shout out Cody. Shout out Gatsby.
Shout out Gatsby podcast. Shout out.
Well, thank you.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having us again.
Yeah.
Like a million times, but like. Our little tiny band appreciated it.
This was great.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I'm nothing but thankful. Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Not to spoil anything, but watch out for me reaching out to you guys in the future.
Ooh. For a Smash Brothers.
That and other things, yes. Cool. All right, guys. I'm gonna wrap up the episode, but. It was wonderful having you on this week. Listeners, thank you for checking it out. Just like every week, every Wednesday morning, we're coming at you at 6 a.m. We won't stop. We can't stop, and we won't stop. That's just how it works. So, thank you for listening. We'll catch you then.